Members, we will go ahead and get started with today's Finance and Facilities Subcommittee meeting. We'll come to order. Make sure to turn on your microphone when answering for roll call. Cheryl, please call the roll to get us started.
Chair Yarborough.
Here.
Representatives Benjamin, Botana.
Here.
Bisada Cabrera, Caruso.
Here.
Cheney.
Here.
Duran. Garrison.
Here.
Pinchowski.
Here.
Joseph.
Here.
Coster.
Here.
Mello.
Here.
Mooney.
Here.
Morales.
Present.
Persons Mullica.
Here.
Salzman.
Here.
Stevenson.
Here.
Tant.
Here.
The quorum is present.
Thank you, Cheryl. Members, as we begin the meeting, please make sure to silence your cell phones or other electronic devices. Thank you. And today we have one PCS, and we have four bills on the agenda, and so we'll get right into those. First, we have House Bill 1507, Dementia-Related Staff Training by Representative Byrd. Good afternoon. Chair Byrd, you're recognized to explain the bill.
Good afternoon, Chairman and members of the committee. Thank you for the opportunity to introduce the Florida Alzheimer's Disease and Dementia Education and Training Act. Caring for our loved ones with Alzheimer's or other forms of dementia is oftentimes incredibly challenging, and we need to equip all direct care staff in a long-term care setting so that they are confident and capable of handling the difficult situations that may arise, and most importantly, are able to provide quality care. This will also provide peace of mind for families when making the difficult decision to utilize long-term care. Across the country, roughly 40% of individuals in a long-term care setting suffer from Alzheimer or related dementia. In Florida, that number is 60%. Florida has the second highest prevalence of Alzheimer's disease in the country, and a majority of individuals with Alzheimer's or related dementia will utilize long-term care at some point. Currently in Florida, there is an inconsistency in these Alzheimer's disease and related dementia training, also known as ADRD training, requirements direct care workers must take among long-term care providers. The goal of this bill is to close the gaps that exist and ensure there is a minimum level of ADRD training requirements across all long-term care providers, including for all specialized providers that advertise memory care services. And just so everyone knows, this is something we passed this bill, our version, last year. We've continued to work with all the players in the industry, some of which you will hear from today. We've got most of their buy-in, and the ones that we don't, we're like this close to working out some of the details. So I'm happy to say that it's been great to work with not only the Alzheimer's Association, but the industry to try to make sure that some of our most vulnerable citizens are protected. That's the bill, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Chair Byrd. Thank you for those additional comments as well. I appreciate that. And members, we're now open for questions. Questions on the bill? Any questions? Okay, seeing none, we do have one amendment. Chair Byrd, we have barcode 776245. You're recognized to explain the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The strike all addresses a majority of the concerns from long-term care providers, with the overall goal remaining the same, to close the current training gaps that exist. Okay. That's a strike all.
Thank you. Thank you for explaining the amendment. Members, any questions on the amendment? Okay, seeing no questions, public testimony. We have Evan Holler with the Alzheimer's Association waving in support. Thank you. Any additional public testimony on the amendment? Okay, that's all for the amendment. So we have no amendments to the amendment. And any debate? Members, any debate on this amendment? Okay, hearing no debate, without objection, we will show the amendment adopted. So we're now back on the bill as amended. Public testimony on the bill as amended. We have a few cards. Again, Evan Holler with the Alzheimer's Association waving in support. Thank you. We also have Kenneth Kniepman, Florida Conference of Catholic Bishops. I don't see him. It shows. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Mr. Kniepman. Waving the opposition? Okay, thank you. And I apologize for that. Doreen Barker, AARP, waving in support. Thank you. And Priscilla Jean Lewis. Ms. Jean Lewis, would you like to speak? Okay, you're recognized. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Let me take this off. All right, so thank you so much, Chair Yarborough, Vice Caruso, Ranking Member Joseph, and all of the committee members. Thank you for this opportunity to address you all today. My name is Priscilla Jean-Louis, and I am a caregiver of my mother, as well as my grandmother, who recently, just this past Saturday, passed away, and I care for them at home. And so I've been caring for my mom for 6 years, and my grandmother would have been 5 years in April. And being their full-time caregiver, that has caused quite a challenge for me and my family. And so I made the decision because of the needs that they have. Both of them have dementia. God bless my grandmother, dementia. And so the long-term training that's needed by our long-term care professionals is very important to me. And so HB 1507 would definitely enhance the current training and make sure that all of the long-term care providers have the minimum training standards. This legislation will also give caregivers like myself peace of mind when having to utilize long-term care, knowing that the individuals providing that care have the dementia training. So I am my mother's voice in this, as well as my grandmother's, who's now gone on, and I advocate today to ensure that my mom, if in the future, that she gets the care that she's need. So thank you so much. I support HB 1507. Thank you for your time.
Ms. Jean Louis, thank you for not only being here today, but for sharing that with us. And the committee extends to you our sympathies on the loss of your grandmother.
Thank you.
Thank you for what you're doing.
Thank you.
We appreciate it. Thank you for being here today.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, members. We have no additional cards for public testimony. So now we're into debate on the bill as amended. Any members wishing to debate on the bill as amended? Representative Honchowski, you recognize
Chair Yarbrough, I think there was one more.
I'm sorry.
Comment.
Ms. Green? Okay, sure. I'm sorry. We do have it. Okay. Oh, sorry about that. It was marked as a different bill number. So our apologies.
So
it's okay. One number. So Florida Assisted Living Association, Jennifer Green, you recognize.
Mr. Chairman, if I may be very, very quick. I know you have a long agenda. Representing the Florida Assisted Living Association and about 578 member facilities they have around the state. First, I need to thank the bill sponsor who's been so generous in his time. Many of you that heard us last year talk about the concerns with this bill realize that we've been working with a lot of other long-term care association groups to try to come up, and the Alzheimer's Association, to kind of come up with language that makes sense. I would refer to you because the easiest way to explain it is if you look on page 7 of your staff analysis. There's a great chart. Staff did an amazing job, and it has a breakdown of all employees, what their initial training is, both between nursing homes, home health agencies, hospice, ALFs, adult family care homes, and adult daycare centers. And if you look at the second chart on the bottom, ALFs under special care already have 4 hours of education within the first 3 months. They have another 4 hours within the first 9 months, and then they have 4 hours annually. Bringing up the floor on all of the types of facilities would increase and obviously require new education for adult family care homes and adult daycare centers, which, again, this makes sense. I think you've got an organization who they're in the business of making sure that their residents are safe and healthy, and so there's no question on that point. I think the concern that fellow members have raised is adding additional training without giving a little bit of relief, and, again, the training up front, whether it's an additional hour or a new person that's subject to training that wasn't previously. Right now, you've got ALFs being in adult daycare centers by rule, but ALFs being the only entity in the long-term care community that has, and if you see on this chart, required 4 hours of continuing education. So we are working with the bill sponsor to talk about, again, staffing needs and those things that could be helpful to be able to provide some relief to maybe to adequately deal with this issue, but also we're looking for some support on that. I'm happy to answer any questions, Mr. Chairman. Okay.
Thank you, Ms. Green. Okay. Any questions, members? Okay. Thank you very much. All right. So, members, we're now back into debate. Representative Honchowski, you're recognized first in debate. Go ahead.
Thank you, Chair Yarbrough. I'm Representative Byrd. I remember when this came up last session, and I just want to thank you for your dedication to this issue and for really working with all the stakeholders to bring everybody together to find that sweet spot of how we can make sure that we have properly trained people, especially in the areas of dementia, for our loved ones as they grow older. So I just want to thank you for your efforts on this.
Thank you. Vice Chair Caruso, you're recognized in debate.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I just want to say it's a great bill, and it, you know, it goes to better serve those that are most vulnerable in our communities. And thank you again for bringing it back.
Any additional debate? Members wishing to debate? Okay, seeing none, Chair Byrd, you're recognized to close.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and members of the committee. Just thank you for your time and attention and comments. We all either have loved ones or know family and friends or constituents that are in long-term care facilities, and we just want to make sure that we're giving them the attention and everybody that's coming into contact with them, whether they're a doctor or a nurse or just someone who works at the facility, can recognize the challenges that come with individuals that have dementia or Alzheimer's, and I thank you for your favorable support.
Thank you. Chair Byrd, having closed on the bill, Cheryl, please call the roll on House Bill 1507 and announce the vote.
Representatives Benjamin? Botana?
Yes.
Posada Caprera?
Yes.
Camusa? Caruso?
Yes.
Taney?
Yes.
Duran?
Yes.
Garrison?
Yes.
Panchowski?
Yes.
Joseph?
We and yes.
Custer?
Yes.
Mello?
Yes.
Mooney?
Yes.
Morales?
Yes.
Persons Mullica?
Yes.
Salzman? Stevenson?
Yes.
Tant? Chair Yarbrough?
Yes.
15 yeas, 0 nays.
Thank you, Cheryl. We will show the bill reported favorably as amended.
Thank you, Chair Byrd. Thank you.
Appreciate it. Thank you. Our next bill, members, will be PCS for House Bill 1527, Healthcare Expenses, by Representative Tom Coe. Good afternoon, Representative. You're recognized to explain the PCS.
Good afternoon, Chair and committee members. Thank you for having me today. PCS for House Bill 1527, costs associated with healthcare services and procedures have the potential to result in significant medical debt for patients and even bankruptcy. It can be daunting for patients to determine out-of-pocket medical costs in advance of significant medical procedures. Even when medical costs do not result in personal bankruptcy, they often weigh heavily on the financial health of patients and their families. This PCS has two main provisions. It requires hospitals, ambulatory surgical centers, and urgent care centers to post actual charges for a wide range of healthcare services on their websites. This information can help patients shop for healthcare the way they shop for other goods and services. This is a requirement of new federal rules applicable to hospitals that we are bringing to our great state of Florida to make sure our facilities participate in this good policy. This bill, lastly, it creates new protections for Floridians with medical debt by allowing them to protect additional assets from debt collection activities. It also requires facilities to set up internal grievances processes and prevents the use of debt collection activities until other options are explored. And that is the bill.
Thank you, Representative Tomko, for explaining the PCS. Members, we're open for questions. Any questions? Questions? Okay, seeing none, we do have one amendment, A1, okay, listed as A1. That's on our blue sheet as well, members. Representative Tomko, you recognize to explain Amendment 1.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This fixes something we left out of the PCS during drafting. Works in concert with the section of the PCS protecting consumers from extraordinary collection actions related to medical debt. It also requires hospitals to provide an internal grievance process, like I just explained before.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for explaining Amendment 1. Members, any questions on the amendment? Any questions? Seeing none, we have no amendments to the amendment. Any members wishing to debate on the amendment? No public testimony, sorry, for the record. And then any members wishing to debate? Okay, seeing none, without objection, we will show the amendment adopted. So now we're back on the bill as amended. Public testimony. We have one appearance card, Etta Fernandez with AARP, waving in support. Thank you, Ms. Fernandez. We appreciate you being here today. And that is all for public testimony. We're now in debate, members. Members wishing to debate on the bill as amended, on the PCS. Representative Hunchowski, recognized in debate.
Thank you, Chair Yarbrough. And I just want to thank Representative Tom Coe for this good consumer-friendly bill. Really appreciate it.
Thank you. Additional debate? Additional debate. Okay, seeing none. Representative, you're...
Wave close.
Recognized wave close. Okay, thank you. Representative Tomko, having closed on the bill, Cheryl, please call the roll on PCS for 1527 and announce the vote.
Representatives Benjamin? Botana?
Yes.
Posada Caprera? Yes. Caruso?
Yes.
Taney?
Yes.
Duran?
Yes.
Garrison?
Yes.
Panchowski?
Yes.
Joseph?
Yes.
Coster?
Yes.
Mello?
Yes.
Mooney?
Yes.
Morales?
Yes.
Persons Mullica?
Yes.
Salzman? Stevenson?
Yes.
Tant? Chair Yarbrough?
Yes.
15 yeas, 0 nays.
Thank you, Cheryl. By your action, we will show the bill reported favorably as amended. Thank you, Representative. Okay, members, next we will go to Representative Gia Lombardo, who's with us. We have two bills by Representative Gia Lombardo. First is House Bill 1443, Dependent Eligibility Verification Services. Good afternoon, Representative. You're recognized to explain your bill.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, members. This bill, 1443, is a clarifying and authorization bill for Department of Management Services regarding the insurance benefits. It links to another, so 1445 regarding dependent eligibility verification services. The State Group Insurance Program is administered by the Division of State Group Insurance with the department. This bill is required to safeguard this program by ensuring that only eligible dependents are covered under this program. Specifically, the bill repeals obsolete language from 2017 requiring the Division of State Group Insurance to competitively procure a contract for dependent eligibility verification services for the State Group Insurance. This bill authorizes the Department of Management Services to provide dependent eligibility verification services and provides the department the authority to require subscribers to submit documentation establishing the dependent as a subscriber eligibility of the dependent. That is the bill.
Thank you. Representative Gia Lombardo, having explained the bill, members, any questions on the bill? Questions? Okay. Seeing none, we have no amendments. So we'll move to public testimony. Public testimony? No, we have no public testimony. Members, we're now in debate on House Bill 1443. Any debate? Okay, seeing none, you're recognized to close. Representative Gia Lombardo, having waved close, Cheryl, please call the roll on House Bill 1443 and announce the vote.
Representatives Benjamin, Botana.
Yes.
Brusada Cabrera.
Yes.
Caruso. Caruso.
Yes.
Cheney.
Yes.
Duran.
Yes.
Garrison.
Yes.
Panchofsky.
Yes.
Joseph.
Yes.
Koster.
Yes.
Mello.
Yes.
Mooney.
Yes.
Morales.
Yes.
Persons Mullica.
Yes.
Saltzman. Stevenson.
Yes.
Tant. Chair Yarbrough.
Yes.
15 yeas, 0 nays.
Thank you, Cheryl. By your action, we will show the bill reported favorably. House Bill 1443, reported favorably. Representative Gia Lombardi, you also have the linked bill, House Bill 1445, which deals with public records. That piece related to dependent eligibility verification services. You're recognized to explain the bill.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, members. This bill, again, it's linked to the previous bill, and all this does is continue the public records exemption they currently have. That is the bill.
Thank you. Members, any questions on the bill? Questions? Okay. Seeing no questions, we have no amendments. We have no public testimony. Any members wishing to debate? Okay. Seeing no debate, Representative Gia Lombardi, you're recognized to close. Representative Gia Lombardo, having waved close, Cheryl, please call the roll on House Bill 1445 and announce the vote.
Representatives Benjamin, Botana.
Yes.
Brusada Cabrera.
Yes.
Caruso.
Yes.
Cheney.
Yes.
Duran.
Yes.
Garrison.
Yes.
Panchofsky.
Yes.
Joseph.
Yes.
Koster.
Yes.
Mello.
Yes.
Mooney.
Yes.
Morales.
Yes.
Persons Mullica.
Yes.
Saltzman. Stevenson.
Yes.
Tant. Chair Yarbrough.
Yes.
15 yeas, 0 nays.
Thank you. By your action, we will show House Bill 1445 reported favorably. Thank you, Representative. Members, our final item for today is House Bill 1313, Unidentified Persons in Hospitals. Representative Koster will be presenting the bill. Representative, you're recognized to explain the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Presenting this bill for Webb Barnaby, who couldn't be with us this week. House Bill 1313 will allow family and friends to identify a loved one who's hospitalized without their ID. The bill will require hospitals to maintain publicly available directories of all unidentified patients. The directory must include the location in the hospital where the unidentified person is admitted, the type of injury suffered by the unidentified person, and a description of distinguishing physical characteristics such as height, weight, gender, race, hair color, eye color, facial hair, tattoos, and scars. That is the bill, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative Koster, for presenting the bill and explaining that to us. Members, any questions? Questions on the bill? Okay, seeing none, we have no amendments. Any public testimony? No public testimony. Members wishing to debate? Any debate? Okay, seeing none, Representative Koster, you're recognized to close.
I'll wave closed here.
Representative Koster, having waved closed, Cheryl, please call the roll on House Bill 1313 and announce the vote.
Representatives Benjamin, Botana.
Yes.
Brusada Cabrera.
Yes.
Caruso.
Yes.
Cheney.
Yes.
Duran.
Yes.
Garrison.
Yes.
Panchofsky.
Yes.
Joseph.
Yes.
Koster.
Yes.
Mello.
Yes.
Mooney.
Yes.
Morales.
Yes.
Persons Mullica.
Yes.
Saltzman. Stevenson.
Yes.
Tant. Chair Yarbrough.
Yes.
15 yeas, 0 nays.
Thank you, Cheryl. By your action, we will show House Bill 1313 reported favorably. And Rep. Koster, thanks again for presenting the bill for Rep. Barnaby. Okay, members, that concludes our business for today with all of our agenda items. Seeing no further business before the committee, Representative Duran moves we rise. Without objection, we are adjourned.